peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of Blueprint for Life. Mount Zion is calling, and also the BCRA 400 Hebrew Sojourn episode information. I am the preacher. It's a blessing to be able to come before you. Wasn't quite sure if we'd be able to make it on today, but nonetheless, we are here, and I pray that this broadcast finds you doing well also. A lot of things going on in the land of our captivity, but we persevere anyway, and we endure. So we just want to give a word of encouragement and exhortation on this day, which is the Sabbath. Let me be clear. Sabbath was given back in Genesis on the day that the Most High rested after creation. We are not into Judaism, Kabbalah, or the Talmud, and we don't copy no Khazars. Copy Khazars. That's all like that. No. We're taking back our heritage, our cultural disposition. This broadcast is sponsored by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, and a part of us restoring our culture is coming back to our God, the one and only true God, as we've expressed in many lessons before, because your cultures and your spirituality is indicative of you understanding your culture. When that's been stolen from you and snatched from you, and you're immersed in a paganized culture, a Babylonian system, economy, cultural-wise, you get away from the way that you're supposed to worship spiritually. And then when you see someone else steal your heritage, your culture, and try to copy your methodology and turn it into a religious practice, and then other people tell you you're copying those people, that's Satan. He's good at twisting things. And that's what we see him do in politics, on the news, in this world. They've been telling you one thing and then doing another and then telling you something else for the last 2 years as it pertains to this pandemic, that Satan has to cover his tracks because he's a liar and the father of lies. He's trying to get you to worship him. Our goal is to get you to come up out of society's customs, ways, habits, and come back to Yah. Hallelujah. Things are hidden in plain sight. And it's time for us to realize it's as simple as black and white. Open your eyes and see what's happening all around you. Get ready to go before our Father in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Bless my brothers and sisters spread throughout the four corners of the earth that are keeping this Sabbath, because we know that this is a sign between us and you. Establish the sign. Look upon our sacrifices. Thank you for the opportunity, because you called us. We didn't call ourselves. The opportunity to worship you and praise you with our lifestyle and our choices, submission to you and your word and your commandments. Those who are suffering in the flesh, bring about healing. Those who are struggling in the spirit, bring about deliverance. Because we know our brother and Messiah died for all these things to transpire. So I ask these blessings in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Shema Israel.
Israel, the Lord our God.
Okay, welcome back to Blueprints for Lives, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio and brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I'm V the Preacher. We're going to go ahead and get into the first portion of our show, which is to understand some of the cultural restorative justice that we're looking for. The Black Cultural Restoration Association seeks to restore the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time, whom this world calls Black, African-American by words. We understand that, but because our minds are so brainwashed and triggered, we have to say certain things in order to penetrate the information and not to say other certain words, which will cause you to dismiss the information. It's called mind programming. A lot of that going on. I'm going to have to get into another show of some of the psychological science that's been utilized on people to keep them at a disadvantage. I'll have to do that. I've done it in times past in the archives. You can pull it up. When we talk about cognitive dissonance, MK Ultra, etc. Words, you know, words like that. There's a methodology behind it, and it keeps my people from understanding it. We'll talk about that shortly. We'll go to Hosea, the fourth chapter. And break that down. Today we're going to talk about the face of Yah, the literal and spiritual aspect of it, because it's important for us to return and to seek that. And when we seek that, we kind of get up off of our backsides, stop being lazy, and begin to research scriptures and understand that what they call a Bible and use for religious dogma and treat like an artifact is actually a Hebrew history book that depicts the sojourn of the people. That's what we're dedicated to, is bringing out that information. Your deliverance also has a lot to do with the truth, and the truth is what will set you free. So we can no longer be immersed in lies and say certain things don't matter. Even the visage of our Messiah. These things all matter because they liberate your mind, your spirit, as you begin to break the chains that have held you down. Very important. Not going to be before you long. Go to the Facebook page, Black Cultural Restoration Association. Let's look at some of the things that we posted and spoke of this week and get into that first and foremost. Let's see. The reason we also bring this out is because the greatest Holocaust on earth is the one that they want us to forget, which has to do with the sub-Saharan slave trade, the transatlantic slave trade. And now it's coming out that there was probably even slaves taken from southern Africa and the Congo. But there will never be reparations. I don't feel that way. The way that you think reparations will be like winning the lottery, because unfortunately you'll get comfortable in the land of your captivity, pour back into their economy, and worship them and thank them for giving you a financial breakthrough. And that would be another form of mental slavery. Our deliverance is only going to come from Yah, because we are his people that are called by his name. We're going to get into that later. And when I say that, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm going to talk about it, but we literally had names: Eliyahu, Yeshaya, Matanyahu, Yakanan. We literally had Hebrew names that had the name of our God, Yah, that's mentioned in Psalm 68:4 in it. You are literally wearing your slave owner's name, and this is not your name. You are not of this land. You are not from Africa, no Bush. You are a people that were very accomplished. Would be the most appropriate word in sciences and medical, medicinal understanding, history, construction, geology, geometry. There were so many things we were accomplished at, educating our people, even brain surgery, heart surgery, understanding architecture, so many things, such a gifted people. And now you're being relegated to physical prowess and being amazed and mocked. Do me and yourself a favor and never stop understanding Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and breaking it down so you can see yourself in there. Millions of our people destroyed during the Atlantic slave trade, which was a result of us first and foremost disobeying Yah, as Deuteronomy 28 will tell you, but then having other people who despised us, such as the Hamites, which would be the majority of your Afrikaans that were in that region, the Arabs and the Ashkenazi Jews, hated us with a passion, not to mention Rome trying to destroy us and the Spanish Inquisition. And Yesha made it clear, they didn't love me. What makes you think they're going to love you? So stop cooning. Almost step and fetch it. Be who you are and don't seek affirmation from other nations, but seek affirmation from the Most High and him alone. That's where your peace and sanity will come from. And then you'll be able to break yourself out of the understanding of religion and then come into relationship with a father who cares about you, because you're more than your mere mortal existence. You are a spirit and soul who was meant to live forever and can live forever, which means the afterlife, if you keep these commandments. Go back and listen to last week's broadcast. You'll hear more about that. So the greatest atrocity that they don't want you to talk about is slavery. And I'm going to say it again. I may have said it last week. Stop watching these slave movies. What they're trying to do is get you to relive the mental and psychological trauma of what we went through as a people. That has an effect on your physical being, your physical presence. This can raise your blood pressure, your cholesterol. This will bring hatred into your heart when you see how these people treat these people. You watching the movie is akin to when the head coon would go get you out of the cotton fields and tell you, master wants y'all to see this, and beat your brothers and sisters till the skin fell off their backs. That's mental trauma. And the psychological effect we want to have in bringing you the truth is to destroy the mental trauma. It does no good if I'm teaching you this, and then after the broadcast is over, you might listen to a few other people teach and preach, but then go watch a slave movie. You have just put back on the chain psychologically by watching that. Your body and your mind doesn't tell you if that's real, fake, or acting. No, it's not acting. You're visually ingesting that, and it's having an impact on you. So you got to create your own stories and stop letting Hollywood, this man, try and destroy your psyche. You see, they won't stop making these movies. And they're not going to. It's a way of you reliving it. And what you think they do, you're reliving it and wincing. But they sitting up in that theater laughing like, bring back the days. They after you, and then they'll express on the exterior, on the outer to you like, oh, that's so sad. I feel for your people, but inside they're rejoicing. And they wish they could have the good old days of old. There'll be no apologies. There'll be no payments. It's only hate. Do we have to participate in hate and hate them back? No, we need to right our wrongs and clean up our house. Let's clean up our closets because we got issues going on within our own community. And by the way, hats off to Kevin Samuels for straightening. Y'all wouldn't listen to us because y'all said we were crazy. So it took somebody else to come from another genre to come and tell y'all what time it is because we got to get our house in order. We've got to get our house in order as a people, and I apologetically talk to my people on the Shabbat because as the Book of Amos tells us, we know clearly that we are the only family he's ever known in the earth. He chose us. He picked us. But with that comes us getting a spanking, getting a whooping for being disobedient because we're playing the whore right now, the harlot. By choosing the ways of Babylon, which is America, daughter of Babylon, by choosing the ways of other nations wanting to be like them, can't stand it. Somebody within our nation thinks they're better than somebody else in our nation because they act like another nation, or marry another nation, or have children with another nation. Or work amongst the other nations and they accept them so they feel better than that. Oh, man, that's mind programming. It's mental abuse. We don't teach hate, but I'm not apologizing for what I'm saying. Because we got a lot of house to clean. So let us clean our houses and our shops, not you. No Democratic Party, Republican Party, reparation, none of that stuff. Spiritually, we must come back to Yah, the God of our Hebrew history book that we kept disobeying. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. So we're all operating as witches as long as we disobey. We're operating as witches by prostituting ourselves with paganist religions and traditions of men, and we have to destroy that pattern. Also, when you scroll up and down this page, you'll find that there are tons of books that give the evidence of what I'm talking about. But I love what Solomon said, one of the wisest men in the world at one time, in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, I believe. He said that, listen, at the end of the day, you're going to read tons of books. You're going to learn. And people never stop writing books, prognosticating, talking, saying things. He said at the end of the day, fear Yah and keep his commandments. That's the only duty of man. And to fear him is to have a reverential treatment towards the Most High and think twice before you act in this life with yourself because there's consequences for your actions. Let's look at some more of this history. Don't worry, we're not going to be on here long. CNN.com. Yes, it's heating up. a couple of things with CNN. First of all, they posted that Germany is getting ready, as I speak of reparations, Germany wants to pay Namibia back $1.3 billion as it formally recognizes the colonial era genocide. This was posted by CNN. So it's interesting that the conversation is up, yes. But I don't know the mind of Yah, because he made it clear in Deuteronomy 28, no man will buy you, no man will save you, no man's going to purchase you, there'll be no recompense through man with money. And we know what profit a man to gain the whole world, lose his soul anyway. Now, I will say this, which is why I don't want to, that's not what I'm talking about today. I will say this, that when we came up out of Egypt, we didn't come out broke. They paid us to leave. Get out of here. Go, just go. That's what it pretty much was, going out to eat. They were like so sick of the plagues. And when they found out the source of the plagues was from holding back Yah's people and let them be set free, they were like, please leave. We apologize. And you better know that times are going to get rough for us in Jacob's trouble down here. And they're going to realize that what they're going through is for the treatment, how they're treating us as a people. So you can be fall into the blindness of we are the world and all that, but that is blindness. And we talked about the gods of this world keeping you blind. But they're going to recognize and associate a lot of the problems. They're going to realize that they've been messing with Yah's people. I like it best how, I'm not going to call his name, but there was one dictator who said that America's going to be in trouble because they're in possession of God's jewelry, the true Hebrews, and the way that we're being treated. It's like a natural hate in some people for the people of Yah because they sense something in us that you don't even sense in yourself. So we'll keep our eyes on Namibia and see if they're going to receive these reparations and if that's what Yah is doing. But I'm setting my affections on things above. It's nice to have money, but it's also the root of all evil, the love of it, if you think it answers all your problems. And money cannot save your soul, deliver your soul. And if you've got an addiction that you're struggling with, then money's only going to make it worse. And also, reparations, if it comes now, you're not going to do nothing but give it right back to Esau. So an Edomite, Amalekite, Rome. You're going to pour it right back into Rome and stimulate their economy. So it's really stimulus money, not reparations, because we feel like we've been without for so long. Immediately, we want to go get a bunch of material things to satisfy us, and it does not last. The thing that lasts is what you do for Christ, HaMashiach. You ever notice the peace, joy you have when you begin to minister to others and give to them? Right. That's him letting you know this is what I've called you to do, to make a difference in the earth, to be the salt and to be the light. And he lets you receive when you give. You receive that peace of mind, that joy that I did something. And this is why he said, what you've done unto the least of them, you've done also unto me. So when you can look down upon the less fortunate, the meek and lowly, you're acting as an angel in the stead of Yah and giving. It's really sad sometimes when we see people and we just say a word, a quiet word of prayer like, oh, Lord, have mercy on them or bless them. No, do something. Do something. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, people want to get on us about, you don't have to do all these things because it's not about works. You tell that to James. You tell that to the book of James in the New Testament. Let's keep up with a little bit more of this history. Also, I'm amazed at the fact that CNN is going to be showing around this Memorial Day a short film about Black Wall Street, 1920s Tulsa, Oklahoma, has spoken to us about the Gap Band for years. You dropped a bomb on me. The Gap Band, the name Gap Band, is Greenwood, Archer, and Pine Street. Those are three connecting streets within Tulsa, Oklahoma's Black Wall Street community that was built up by black folks who wanted to have their own, do their own, get their own thing, as it should have been. We got Chinatowns all over the doggone place. Blacktown is known as the ghetto. So that's why I don't like people talking about your ghetto, your hood. They're trying to demean us and talk about us. But nevertheless, I was familiarized with Gap Band back in the 80s. I think they actually got together in the late 70s, but they started having hits. But I love the fact that they named their band after something that America's just now wanting to recognize. And I'm astonished that white folks, Chinese folks, didn't know nothing about this history. The first time America bombed itself, bombed within their own country to destroy us over a lie that a white whore told to initiate a riot. And this is what they will do all the time. So you look out. Let me say something real quick, people. Look out for you're being gaslit. There's a lot of gaslighting going on right now and stoking of the flames with other races. Immediately they'll jump from you to AAPI and pass laws for them immediately. You can't even get the George Floyd bill passed. It's been a year, and they passed that one in 2 weeks. And they just want to stoke the flames. Anything to get up under your skin because they know you're Yah's people. And if you come back into the understanding of that, everything that they're living for, their money, their little jobs, their businesses, it's going to go up in flames as it already is starting to. If this was a firecracker, the fuse is burning and it's about to explode. Let me get back on point. I love how Gap Band was secretly telling y'all what happened in the 20s with the song, "You Dropped a Bomb on Me." And I want you to look at this Tulsa thing and see what we can do collectively as a people when we do come together. But unfortunately, we've been tainted. And so when the Most High gathers us and takes us into the wilderness, he's going to have to purge out the rebels amongst us, because there's some whose minds have been so poisoned. And you love to drink the Kool-Aid of America, Babylon. And you want to be like Lot's wife and look back and say, man, I had a good time here. This place has been better to me than I've been to myself. You're looking for destruction. You're going down with the ways of this world. And when this world as we know it is destroyed, you'll be destroyed along with it. Anyway, the burning of Black Wall Street will be coming on Monday, May 31st, CNN. Let's see how they do it, how they tell the story. Yet another story that's not known by tons of people. This won't be like a slave movie, but it will get up under your skin if you're not familiar with the story. But let's just know that a change is going to come, and it is coming. Okay, one more article from the Black Cultural Restoration Association. And it's about a lady by the name of Anna Jones, lived from 1855 to 1932. She was the daughter of one of the first African-American graduates of Oberlin College, James Monroe Jones. After graduating herself, she became a teacher at Wilberforce University in Ohio and the principal of a school in Kansas City. After leaving the classroom, she was involved in discussions that created the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs, was one of only two women to address the first Pan-African conference in London in the 1900s. The other was fellow teacher and Oberlin alumni, Anna Julia Cooper. Jones lent her skill as a writer to many publications to advocate for civil rights and suffrage. There's more history of other people behind the scenes that you didn't know anything about. They just put the same people in your face. There were a lot of people at work trying to liberate, educate, and bring quality and class to our people a long time ago. We've been in this fight and this struggle for a long time. We're not tired yet. We've got to endure until the end. The Bible is Black History. We come back, we'll get into the scriptures, get into the word. Yahshua, Yasha, Hamashiach. His name ain't Jesus. I just have to use that name. Great. I just have to use that name for reasons, for association, for those who are unlearned. And therefore, when you're unlearned, I have to refer you to the name so you can understand who I'm talking about. Christian church has taught you to worship our Savior, who sacrificed and shed his blood for us, who came in the image of his Father. And he told us to worship the Father. We're supposed to worship the Father, worship him in spirit and truth. And the world is funny because Christian church has taught us that he's formless. He doesn't have a form. We're going to destroy that today. Not worshiping a mass, a cloud. If they can get you to believe that, then they can also get you to believe that everybody's spiritual Israelites now. No, this is a real bloodline of Israelites, and I'm Israelite by blood, which is why when I'm born, I have a natural inclination and predisposition to want to worship my father and not associate myself with Christianity, which Christianity started the slave trade and beat your black butt with whips. How could you go worship a so-called image of this European Jesus and then come out and have a picnic and hang a bunch of black folks, Negroes, and then cut off their limbs and their appendages and sell them and keep them as souvenirs? That's an evil person. All in the name of Christianity. We love Yah, and we are disciples of him. He said, go and make disciples. That's why it was also, we were known as being in the way. We weren't Christians. Other people called us that. Because Yeshua, whom you ignorantly called Jesus, never said, go and make Christians. No, he didn't say that. And then the word is being misused because the word Christ means called out one, anointed one. The anointed one. So Satan can anoint one of his people and call him Christ. That's why Yeshua warned the people in Matthew that in the last days there'll be many false Christs saying, I am the anointed one that's going to deliver you all from these problems, that's going to fix the problems in the Middle East. No. No. Yeshua is in the order of Melchizedek. He's our high priest, and he made us all equal priests through the sacrifice he made for us, which caused the veil of the temple to be ripped. We can boldly approach the throne and make our petitions known now because of the blood sacrifice. So we no longer have to kill goats, bulls, animals, pigeons, and ask Yah to forgive us once a year. It's been done. We atone for our sins, Day of Atonement. That sacrifice got rid of the sacrificial law so that we can be able to keep the moral law. Tell me, can't nobody keep the commandments? Can't nobody keep the commandments that we don't have to keep no more because we're not in our homeland. We don't have a temple. Our bodies are the temple. So you just need to get some good teaching and come up out of Christianity. I know a lot of people would get upset. People upset at me for the last 15 years anyway. I care less. But the truth is the truth. And I'm not walking on eggshells around nobody. Around nobody. Because Christianity enslaved your butt 400 years ago. Christianity chased you up out of your homeland of Jerusalem. Christianity has stolen your identity and your culture and your relationship with Yah. And we're going to talk about it today. If my people who are called by my name, got to humble yourself. Right now, y'all worship pastor, worship your church, you worship wood and stone, which is Mecca, which is Islam, and wood is the cross, and wrote songs about the cross and Calvary on a rugged cross, and them songs, all them songs, I played them songs in the Baptist church. And we're supposed to focus on the statutes, laws, and commandments because that gives you citizenship into the heavenly kingdom. When you become a citizen, you got to be naturalized. You have to be prepared and study on the ways and the culture of the land. You're not going into the land if you don't understand the culture of the people and what your king, your God, expects from you. How to live, how to eat, how to walk, how to treat each other. Where do you learn that at? In the Bible, not your pastor, not your church, not your religion. You must study to show yourself approved. You need to hurry up and get this together because you can see Gog and Magog are preparing themselves because Gog and Magog is Russia and China, and they're ready to take over this land. And there's going to be a time of tribulation and an hour of destruction upon this land. And you will not be saved and see the salvation of Yah if you're not preparing your mind, body, soul, and spirit for the recompense that's coming upon the earth. If you have aligned yourself up with Babylon and these false nations who worship Satan, Isaiah 14, Satan said, I'll be worshipped. Yeah, he has his five-point plan is broken down in Isaiah 14. He said, because from the beginning of time, he wanted to be like Yah. And you got a camp. Hold on, let me say this on the side. You got a camp that believes everything was black. The angels were black. Angels weren't black. The angels didn't look nothing like us. That's why they have a different seed line. They weren't made from the dust of the ground. Their foundational makeup is that of fire, of metal, while we're of earth, clay. They are Yah's creation, but they weren't made in his image. They were not made in his image. We were made in his image from the clay, from the dirt. And this is why the book of Daniel prophesied that in the last days, iron and clay would try to mingle together, but it will not stay. That is so literal, you don't understand. It means two things. The mixing of the races to formulate another race and to put it in the face of God, and then the merging of man with technology, which you're seeing now. Everybody's talking about chips, neural links, nanoparticles are in these people's bodies. And brothers and sisters, I got news for you. They just passed a law in 20 states of a new form of cremation, which is called liquefaction, where they can liquefy a dead body. And they're hurrying up and passing it in all states because people are going to start dropping dead from jab. And they're going to be liquefying people and putting the fluid back into the sewer and water. I'm sorry I got off on a tangent. I just had to say that. But clay and iron cannot merge. I only wish you knew the true medical history of even when you're trying to merge other races and have these children. Most High made what he wanted to exist. He didn't tell you to play God and merge things and create your own fabrication of DNA. The jabs are putting modified ribonucleic acid cells inside of you that will never go away. It's irreversible, and it's going to change people. Their mindset, their psychology, the way they perceive things, the way they talk. I went off. See if I can keep my focus. let's get back to the image and the face. We're gonna go to Hosea 4. And then after Hosea 4, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. But listen to Daniel. Before I go to Hosea, listen to Daniel 10. Listen to this. You see, Revelation is the first chapter tells you about the image of Yesha. And many people will tell you that every time there was an appearance of Yah, it was really Yesha because he was the word, because the scripture that people will take out of context is no man has seen Yah and can live, but there has been people that have had visions of Yah. And they say, now that wasn't a vision of Yah. That was Yesha, his son, who you call Jesus. I can say that no man in this flesh, in the physical realm, can stand in the presence of Yah, because no sin and no darkness can coexist in the presence of Yah. That's why the biggest lie in the world today with religion is coexist. Because right now you're on the verge of seeing them preparing to merge all religions. Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Catholic Church, they're getting merged and all. They're going to call y'all all in because they're going to show you where the similarities exist. Because you didn't realize that while you were thinking Jesus, your Jesus, that your European dude was born on December 25th, is just a model and image of a start day, Nimrod, Tammuz, but it's been hidden in plain sight. So they're going to show you the commonality, which exists, and then you'll be like, well, I guess we're worshiping the same God. We would just call it by other names. This is what they're preparing now for the one world religion. We're so close now, we can smell it, we can touch it, we can taste it. There's no coexisting in the presence of Yah, because no religion, no sin, no dirtiness. He didn't even let the priest come in until they washed themselves. The priest, the Levitical priesthood, had to wash their hands. If the Levitical priesthood would go into the Holy of Holies with a rope tied around them, because if there was still an element of sin within their lives when they came into the presence of Yah in the Holy of Holies, they would drop dead. So in that sense, no man has seen Yah and lived, because we have mortal flesh. We are born and shapen in iniquity, in sin, trying to purge ourselves from our sins. And it's in our doing, our efforts to be sinless, that we start to find perfection and righteousness, because we're striving. It's in a mouthful. It's the striving. That's why I can't stand these folks that tell you, you don't have to do, you're not saved by works. Sit up, shut up and sit down somewhere. Especially when these Edomites try to teach our word to us, our Hebrew history book. You out of line. I don't care if you got universities and schools and seminaries. It don't mean a doggone thing to me. Because that's why Yeshua showed you, by the men he picked to be his disciples, they were, some of them were unlearned. Some of them were just fishermen, just factory, industry, blue-collar dudes. Yah's ways are not like man's ways. We have nothing to do with that. So getting back to the presence of, and being in his presence, this is why these Edomites would teach you that he's just an orb and he has no physical existence. That's not true. And unfortunately, a lot of our people have never been in the presence of Yah. They don't know what it's like. I'll tell you this, it's transformative. It is definitely transformative, but you can see a vision of Yah. Paul went up into the third heavens. Enoch went up into the heavens and talked to him. It wasn't Yeshua. And when we talk about his face, that word in the Hebrew is Penuel, Peniel. And it's to be within that presence. And I will not play down Yeshua, HaMashiach, because he said, when you see me, you see him. Hey, I look like my father. And I know without effort, I can sound like him, talk like him, act like him, because the same DNA is in me. Amazing. I got a grandson that looks like me. Chip off the old block. You're going to be that you come from. Daniel had a vision. And look what Daniel saw. Verse 5. Daniel 10 and 5. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. Oh, I thought it was, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He's just an orb. It's just a spirit. It's just a mist, a cloud. Daniel said he was wearing some clothes in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold. Oh, he had loins too? Maybe that's what it means when it says I'm made in his image, that he's just like me. Y'all don't even realize Yah has a sense of humor, thought, knowledge, words, understanding. But Christianity has made you think it's just a presence. Listen, verse 6 is the one that's going to blow your mind. It says his body. Daniel didn't say that. Yes, he did. Vision of Yah. His body also was like the barrel. Do you know what the barrel is? Let me give you, I don't want to just tell you, I'm going to type it in. If I can read it to you verbatim, I think I'm making this stuff up. Let me read this to you in church. The reason he said his body was like the barrel is because it's a darkened stone. It shines. It's glorious. It's black in color. Beryl is also black in color. It's as a gem. It is considered more beautiful and therefore more expensive. Beryl. It's a dark stone like a crystal. Daniel sees in the vision, his body also was like the beryl. Wait a minute. This cloud also has a face. Daniel says, and his face has the appearance of lightning. What? Are you, huh?
And his eyes, he had eyes too. His eyes as lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet like into color. He had arms and feet too. As into colored brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I alone saw this vision. The men with me didn't even see it. Daniel's describing Yah, not Yahshua. Yahshua is described in Revelation, the first chapter, and it has the same description in Revelation, the first chapter, the son of his daddy, description in Daniel, 10th chapter. You gotta love it. Show me your face. This is what Moses said. He said, no man can see me and live, but I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass along the cleft of the rock and let you see my backside. Oh, he has a backside. He said, because you can't see me and live, because I'm perfection. I'm the person. I'm the absolute total personification of perfection, which is why when Daniel get up and when Moses looked upon his backside, and he came back down to the people, they looked at him in terror and said, please cover your face with a veil, because the glory of Yah was shining from his face on what he beheld. A lot of you need this vision, but you haven't spent time with Yah. You don't even get up and pray in the mornings. You don't even read your Bible every day. But you come into the presence of Yah, and when he shows you himself in a vision, life will never be the same. I'm saddened to hear statistically right now that 50% of all young people in America refuse to believe there's a God. They don't believe it anymore. Because these lying churches never have the ability to introduce these children to Yah. And when you go to Glory Mountain like Moses, and you have a meeting with him, you'll never be the same, and you'll never leave him. And you'll do as I say every week. You'll want to find out how much more can you do to be close to him, as opposed to the Christian church that wants to find out how much they don't have to do. Oh, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to keep that. You ain't got to stop eating that. No, yes, you do. You're going to bow down. That's a message that I taught some 2 years ago. I think I might actually play that message next week about King Nebuchadnezzar and him bowing down and having to humble himself. I'm going into that because we're getting ready to get into the humility scriptures. Daniel's terrifying vision. Read the whole chapter, though. The whole chapter is amazing, but I just wanted to point out the significance of the descriptions that he's giving. There are more scriptures in this Bible that even tells you that his hair, like lamb's wool, white, snow, colors are described. Don't tell me, what does, as soon as you get to the nitty gritty of the color and the creation of Yah, people be like, well, why does that matter? Because you've been hiding it and lying about it. And the truth will set me free. And I have, the onus is upon me to seek him out and to seek this out, because in doing so, I am rightly dividing the word of truth, and I'm studying to show myself approved, and I'm digging through the scriptures. Why does that matter? Before I get to the book of Hosea, let's go to 2 Chronicles 7. You all know it very well. Hopefully we can look at it in a different light today. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who might that be? Okay. Amos 3:2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for your sins. What is sin? 1 John 3:4. Sin is transgressing the law.
So Amos 3 and 2 says, if my people, and then he goes on to say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, who are called by my name. That takes us back to what I told you about Isaiah, whose Hebrew name is Yeshaya. In the book of John, which the Hebrew name is Yahkanan. The book of Matthews, these are all these English names. They tried to change our Hebrew names. They changed our names in slavery and then changed the names in the Bible to English names. Oh, boy, I tell you. Matt and Yahoo. So listen, if my people, which are called by my name, and another way to look at that verse right there is the people that call my name. Not God, because God is a word, which is a title, which means theos. We do believe in a theocracy, because we get our instructions from down. We don't believe in democracy. That has nothing to do with God. That's Satan's premise. We believe in theocracy. We hear from, we're monotheistic. We believe in one God. But if my people that are called by my name, so we were called by his name, there's a manifesto of the names of all the slaves when they got off the ship. They had documents, and all of them had the name Yah in it. And then as soon as they start whooping your ancestors behind, they said, now your name's going to be John Smith. It's an English name. And then who are the people that continuously call upon him, even in their servitude, being beat and whipped? We're down there singing Kumbaya and down by the riverside and mourning and remembering the motherland, Jerusalem, mother of us all. That's in the book of Psalms. He said, if my people, this is what they don't want you to come back to, because this is you coming back to your culture, coming back to your God, and then him coming back to get you, save you. Ain't nobody going to save you, but yeah. Leading politics, policies, no, I can care less about your MBA, your doctorate, or your political disposition. You're not going to make a difference. You're going to make maybe an impact. But you're not going to make a difference, which is why we're still marching about the same thing from over the last 400 years. You're in servitude. The only way you're going to get out of this is to come back to this. Shall humble themselves. See? You think because they let you into the secret society and the golf course and a political arena and talking about you've got a seat at the table, you've become arrogant. So now you Negroes, paper bag contest, an example, who's dark, who's light, like all this stuff. Y'all the ones that's holding back salvation as well with your arrogance and striving for the approval of other nations because you want to be down with them and then come around your people with a pompous attitude and can care less about them and say you need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and be like me. He said if my people will humble themselves, pray, something we don't do, we'd rather go to yoga class now, spin class, crystals, sage, burn some sage. Weed is legal, so I'm going to smoke weed, stay high. I'm going to go to a seminar. I know about Bitcoin now. I know how to invest. I know how to play stock market. We're all that now. We copy in the ways of the world and mankind. We don't want nothing to do with what he requires of us. Our God, who's put us in this position because of our forefathers sinning, and we're still perpetually sinning, breaking his statutes, laws, and commandments. Don't want to live right. If we will pray, and here's the big one, seek my face. We just got through talking about his face, what he looks like. There is an image and there's a face. And seeking him and learning the color of his face and knowing that you were made in his image to look like him from the dirt, this is one of the requirements of our salvation. To seek his face like Moses said. Like Moses said, show me your face. Seeking his face is life-changing. And it gives you ownership of your destiny. Because when you commit to this truth, it's life-changing. We've read this over and over and never paused on face in Hebrew, which is pineal. There's many Hebrew names for faces, panim and panay, which is masculine. There's panim, which is singular. It means the face. It's the part that turns. The panim is what Moses saw. And then we get into prospon. That means face as well, but that's in the Greek. I like to stick with Hebrew because I don't want nothing to do with them Greeks. Let's look at panim and panay, which is masculine. It means face and faces, which is abroad, accepted, to accept, above. Seeking the face of Yah, seeking true light and understanding. You seek his face. You can't even come. Listen to this. You can't see his face in a vision like Daniel. And you're not going to come near him until you start becoming righteous, set free, and you have to be repentant. You have to be baptized. You have to accept his son and his sacrifice. And you have to be set apart, Kodesh. And we draw close to him by keeping the Sabbath and keeping the commandments. And as you begin to do this, he'll begin to reveal himself to you. Our salvation is coming, but we have to seek his face, so we have to have some humility. We have to humble ourselves, pray, and seek it. Seek it. We took that in a metaphorical sense for years. Oh, seek his face. You know, I just want to seek his face. Like, no. I want to know what he looks like, his origins, because I'm made in his image. And I want to see something that'll change me and transform me. It changed. Moses says, show me your face, and then he was never the same again. And this is why people have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power. Camps ain't got no power. They're not casting out demons. They're not changing nobody. Only Yah can do that. And laying on of hands calls forth gifts and implants the Holy Spirit if the leader is full of the Holy Spirit. Unclean communications coming out of your mouth is an indicator that the Holy Spirit may not be in there, because he will check you when you communicate with harsh language and curse words. There's nothing harmonious about that. Turn from your wicked ways, and then will you hear from heaven, and he'll forgive the sins you've committed, and he'll heal your land, the land starting with you, and then your people and your nation, and then those around you, because it starts with you, because Amos told us, we're the only family he's ever known. It's in the Apocrypha that the rest of the nations are like spittle to him. He's called us out and chosen us. To us was given the oracles. We'll read some more of that. And let's go to Hosea, the 4th chapter. I'm almost done. Hosea 4 says, hear the word of our Elohim, ye children of Israel. For the Most High has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Yah in the land. This is why we keep preaching and teaching. We've got to keep preaching, teaching, and making a difference. Verse 2, by swearing, see? There it is there about communications. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. Sounds like the commandments to me. And blood toucheth blood. Therefore the land shall mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field. That's why you get all these animals coming amongst us now. And with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Whales, fish, washing up on shore. Listen to this. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. That right there was so powerful. Strive with the Sadducees, Pharisees, the false prophets, the fake pastors, the worship of them, looking for a sign, rebuking each other, but yet living in sin. He said, doing these things in verse 5, therefore shalt thou fall in the day. He's talking about that day when that judgment comes, that hour of judgments. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, the false prophet, and I will destroy thy mother. Why? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't want to learn this truth that will liberate us and set us free and bring us closer to his face and his presence, the physical presence of Yah, the revealing of himself in dreams and visions. And it's because we will let somebody else tell us who we are, but when we tell our people who we are and what it is, get away from me with that. That's not us. You don't want to hear the truth about who we are as a people and what's expected of us. See, first I tell you who you are, then I tell you what's expected of you. And then I did my part, as Isaiah 58 says, cry out loud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trump in Zion, show my people their transgressions and sins. So I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness, whether you like it or not. This is sad because this is what's going on, verse 6. You keep rejecting this truth, saying that nigga's crazy. Well, because you're rejecting the prophet I've sent with the truth, I will also reject thee, and thou shalt not be a priest to me. What priest? The priest spoken of in the book of Hebrews under the order of Melchizedek, where we're all in the priesthood, and Peter 2 and 9 to 10, that says we're a royal generation, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. No, you will not be a priest in that order because you're rejecting this truth, which is that we are the Israelites, his people, that have rejected the commandments and are under the curses of Deuteronomy 28. You don't want to hear this truth because you're comfortable in your heliocentric, paganistic, Sunday, not God's day religion, which has nothing to do with him and that hates Yah. You will be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of Yah. I will also forget your children, which is why we got 50% of kids don't even believe in Yah. And I do blame these churches, these Sunday churches, because they was in there bringing forth no manifestation of the glory of Yah. They was hyping people up with the music, the lights, the philosophical sermons, viewpoints, riches, wealth, name it. Claim it, and then after church go commit adultery. Well, I'm not surprised because Israelites were inside of church on Sundays committing whoredoms, worshiping another God, and rejecting the knowledge of Yah, and following after something that was beaten into their ancestors 400 years ago, forced to worship on Sundays, and beat their culture out of them, and their spiritual heritage and changed their language. Let's go further. Verse 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. With each generation, we got further away from Yah. To now, this has become comfortable and it's the norm. And now we're trying to wake our people up and they don't want to hear it because they've gotten comfortable with traditions. And I understand it, because since I've come out the matrix, yeah, the life that what I thought was happiness no longer can be given to me as I'm being stripped away from the ways of the world on a daily basis. I have to find my joy in peace in Yah, which is why he says in the scriptures, count it all joy. Ha! Hallelujah. Even when I go through. So I have to transform how I find happiness and peace and joy through the eyes of Yah and these scriptures. That's why he said, when they rejected my commandments, my laws, rejected me, my face, my image, and started believing in another Yah and a picture that they gave them and start calling me Jesus and worshiping Jesus only, oh, praise Jesus. He never said do that. Verse 7 says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. That's sure enough where it's at. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. We plan sinning. We plan sinning. We plan our adulterous affairs. We plan when we're going to the club to get high. We plan when we're going to go murder somebody. We plan. We just full of breaking the commandments, and we plan it. Verse 10, for they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredoms. There it is there. And shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Most High. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Yah, chasing technology, medicine, artificial intelligence, wanting approval from Uncle Sam, their governments, wanting promotions, wanting all these things, wanting the fame in this land, wanting to sell out and compromise, and then suddenly here comes Satan. Here comes Satan. I'll give it to you, but you got to bow down and worship me. And you think you're not worshiping him when you are. And you signed that deal with him. You signed that contract for money and fame. It even says, let's read some more decisions. This is a good chapter. As we plan to get roasted, get high, get drunk, and we take bad counsel, and then we go to whoring. Physically and spiritually against Yah, breaking these commandments. See, when you fear him, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, is what he said. And when you fear him, you keep his commandments. You don't want the judgment of Yah to come upon you for the sins that you commit. You're lying and you're whoredoms. Verse 12 said, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have done a whoring from under their God. 13, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains. They burn incense upon hills under oaks, poplars, and elms. It's all the customs and things that we've picked up. Thereof is good. Therefore, your daughters shall commit whoredoms, and your spouses are going to be committing adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand, they shall fall. Two-thirds of our people will be destroyed, y'all. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not yet ye unto Gilgal. Neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear to the Most High, that the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is even joined to idols. Let them alone. Their drink is sour, the judgment they're going to go through to get these idols off them. They've committed whoredoms continually, all up in the Catholic Church and all other types of witchcraft and paganist religions. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. The wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices when they come into realization of what they've been doing and what they've inherited and the customs and the cultures. This Bible is so powerful. The prophecies that are in it just depicts our people and shows us wrong that we've done. Rejecting his face, rejecting knowledge. We have to come back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And his face is important. You should want to be like Yachanan, John, in the book of Revelations. You should want to be like Daniel. You should want to know the presence of Yah and to see his face and be in his presence as Moses asked, show me your face. I don't know if you're ready for that transformation, but it needs to happen in your life because it's a mind, it's a life-changing experience. Unfortunately, a lot of my Hebrews, especially some of you on the camps, have not had that experience of power. And we don't play this Christianity thing. It's not you rolling in the ground, spitting, foaming at the mouth, people imparting demons in you, laying hands on you. Bible said, lay hands on no man suddenly. No, it's about the Ruach that comes into your life when you obey Yah and keep his commandments. That's in Acts, the 5th chapter. I give my spirit to those who obey me. The spirit of Yah is not in you if you are disobeying what he's commanded you to do. And when you find yourself changing what he plainly told you to do, like, no, that doesn't mean that. That's not that. That's this, this, that. No, you can't do that. You take this word verbatim. Don't let somebody else do a Jedi mind trick on you and explain away the simplicity that belongs to Yah, that he told us through Yeshua that he can get, he gives it out so that even a child can understand. He makes it simple. He's not always speaking in dark speeches. The dark speeches, the parables, the metaphors, the allegories are for the tare. So they'll never understand the cold language that we have amongst ourselves, each other. Because if you got the Ruach, you're going to understand what's being said. You'll read the Bible and see the Bible differently when you're filled with the Spirit. Seek his face, let him show you his face. As it pertains to the visage, the image of Yah, I'm going to give you some more scriptures. You look these up. There will be no spirit. There's no spiritual Israelites. Get out of here with that. Isaiah 45:17 tells you that. The visage of Yeshah, Isaiah 52:14-15. Isaiah 53:2. Then you want to read Romans 9. You want to read Romans 11:1. And then we already read Daniel's 10:5-6. And let's see, what else? Isaiah 25:7, the veil. Read about that there. That's going to be it for today. Spend my time. Listen, brothers and sisters, I hope you've been blessed by the word and that you'll spread the information around and keep seeking it. And the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. I pray that you keep the victory enduring till the end, as we're preparing for tribulatory times that are coming upon this nation. But don't be distracted by what's going on in the news. Seek Yah and get yourself together. Work on you. And if you work on you, you'll help to work on our nation and our people so that we can be spiritually right for the retribution, the recompense, and the salvation that is to come when our brother returns. We got a lot more to see. Keep your seatbelt on. And this has been The Awakening, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, talking about a blueprint for life. Shalom, peace and blessings. Until next time.
gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, yes, you've been a building
your kingdom.
Oh, Lord. Your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers
are gonna preach your kingdom down.
Oh, yes, you've been building
your kingdom.
All in the house of God.
All in the house of God.
That's all right.
Satan, we're gonna tear.
Mothers are gonna pray your kingdom down. Oh, you better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the mothers
are gonna pray your kingdom down.
Oh, oh yes, sir. You've been
beating your kingdom. All over this land.
That's all right, Satan.
Kingdom, we're gonna tear your kingdom down.
I heard Jesus out on the mount one day, said, blessed are they that mourn.